Good morning. So I wanted to clap double for your song this morning because what the subject is this morning. And Romans, we're of course studying the book of Romans. But the subject of chapters 1 through 3 is sin. And so it's a great song to think about 12 lessons about sin. We're not going to read everything, but we're going to have 12 lessons about sin this morning that we're going to take out of these three chapters. So I will put the text, I should do that now, I'll put the text on the wall, but I'll tell you a story. I think it was 2008 when I was healthy, strong, young, and the doctor called me up and said, "Craig, you're dying." I said, "That's crazy. I'm not dying." And he says, "Yep, you've got cancer." And I thought, "Nah, he can't be right. I don't have cancer." And so it was very hard to, it was hard to believe him. So I sat and argued with the doctor. No, he's wrong. Then I argued with myself. And then I said, should I tell Nancy? Well, I mean, if I'm dead, she'll find out soon enough. So finally I said, you know, in order to get cured from this cancer, I have to first admit that I have cancer. And then the doctor can cut it out, right? And then God can do the work of healing after the doctor cuts everything away. Then God actually does the healing. And so before I could have the cure, I had to admit I was sick. This is why in Romans 1 through 3, God takes so long. He spends so much time in talking about the real sickness that all people have. And the real sickness that all people have that one day will kill us is sin. Why do people die physically? Well, it's because Adam sinned. Why is the world in such a mess? Well, it's because of sin. Almost every problem, maybe every problem in life, is because sin is in the world. And yet a lot of people won't admit that. But unless you admit, I used to think my problem was my mother, you know. She kept me from doing all the stuff that the kids wanted to do. And but then I left home. I found out it wasn't my mother anymore. So I thought it was my sergeant in the Army. He's the source of all my problems. Well, then I went to a new base and had a different sergeant, a different officer in charge, and it wasn't that sergeant. It really wasn't until someone actually read this Bible verse to me. And this is from our, let me do this. I'm going to make one change here. Bear with me. Okay, here we go. This is the first Bible verse that really in my life someone sat down and read with me and explained. You're looking at it now. And it's from Romans 1 through 3, and it's in chapter 3. And this is the conclusion. This is the end. It's Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And lesson number 1 about sin. This is 12 lessons about sin. It's from Romans 3:23, but the lesson, and there's two lessons,
But this lesson is all have sinned. And the glory is gone.
So there's the verse up there. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Have you ever memorized that verse? Probably you have memorized that verse. Maybe not in English. If you haven't, let's do it right now. We start with a reference, Romans 3:23, and then we just say, for all have sinned, and we'll just do that much. Alright, so everybody say Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Well, you got that, right? That's not that hard. Let me get the... Where's the little clicker thing?
This may be a good one. Okay.
You got it in your head, right? Okay. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. So what's Craig's problem? Sin. What's your problem? Sin. Yes. Now we've got to add something to this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that the hard part? And fall short of the glory of God? Let's say that three times. And fall short of the glory of God. And fall short of the glory of God. And fall short of the glory of God. Now let's tell you what. Hide it from us so we can't cheat. Here it is. Alright, let's just say that. And fall short of the glory of God. Now you don't need to see this, right? We can put it all together now. Let's try putting it together. Then we'll check and see if we did it right. We're going to start with the reference. That's the book and chapter and verse. So, ready? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Did you get it? Is that new? Is that a new verse for you? Well, even though it's like the last verse, it should be lesson number 11. We're making this lesson number 1. It's Paul's conclusion about everything he says in Romans 1 through 3. And he's saying, it's everybody's problem. But when he says, fall short, you know how hard it is to translate stuff into English? It's hard, isn't it? And you have like 10 words to choose from. And you go, I don't know what word to use here. It's the same with the Bible, because the person who translated this from Greek into English, they say, well, what word are we going to use here? And it could be, for all have sinned and fall short. So, and that the idea is, here's man, and here's God, and God's glory is everything bright and everything perfect about God, everything beautiful. Glory is what is beautiful, what is bright, and it's shown, God shows his glory in a great light that you can't even look at. And so if we say all have sinned and fall short, the idea is, God is here, I'm short, I do not reach his glory. And that's true, isn't it? That's true. God is above me. God is perfect. I'm not perfect, I'm a sinner. Now, but, it also could mean, I lack or do not have. And so the idea then is, there's something I don't have that I used to have. When God created Adam, God made Adam perfect. God gave Adam a covering and he couldn't see that he was naked. And the Jewish people believed that the covering that God gave Adam, that Adam lost the moment he sinned, was God's glory. When we get toward the end of the book of Romans, we are going to see that God's plan for man, when he saves you, is to give you back the glory that Adam lost. And so, looking at it this way, you can say, I don't have something that I really need. For all have sinned and lack or do not have God's glory. I don't have what I need. I don't have God's perfect covering. When God built a house for himself in the wilderness, he put in that house his glory. Israel sinned, and God took it away. So he built another house. And that time he built it with stones. It was more permanent than the first house made with tents. And he put in that house his glory. There was a light that was not from a lamp. It was from God. It was his glory. Israel sinned. And the glory was taken away again. In fact, the whole house was destroyed and it's never been rebuilt. Adam sinned. The glory's gone. Israel sinned. The glory's gone. God has the answer to my problem, which is sin. And one day, he is going to give me back his glory. He can only do that when the sin is gone, and then he'll give me his glory. Wouldn't you like to be perfect? You say, I can't be perfect. No, you can't. God is perfect, and he wants to give you a perfect salvation that is so perfect that one day you get the glory back, because you don't have it, and I don't have it today. All right, so that is lesson number one. Everybody has sinned. The glory is gone. All right? That's lesson number one. And so, we're going to try to say it. All right, let's all say it. Start with a reference, end with a reference. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And let's make this practical too. If you never have thought about this before, this is a problem between you and God. It affects your family. You make your wife cry. You're a woman, you make your husband cry. The children get upset. Things don't go well at work. It's a sin problem. Come to God now, before the message is even over, and say, God, I have a problem. It's bigger than me. My problem is sin. And I admit I'm a sinner. I deserve eternal punishment. Wow, what a first step of being honest with God. I'm a sinner, God. All right, now, we got to go to the beginning here, though, because remember, sin, Paul is trying to convince you. Some of you may not look convinced that you're sinners. So he's taking three chapters, and hopefully we'll get through 12 lessons about what sin is, so that we'll all be convinced that we're sinners, and we'll all want God's cure for sin. So I'm going to start reading Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress or hold back the truth in unrighteousness. All right. Lesson number two. Sin is not ignorance. Sin is not because if we sin, we know what we're doing. Sin is not ignorance. Sin is a choice. And it's choosing my way against God's way. Do you see what this verse is saying here? This verse is saying that God's punishment, that word wrath is punishment. It means God is angry at sin. Adam never should have sinned. Adam had everything. He never should have sinned. But he says God's anger or punishment for sin is revealed. That means it's shown. It comes straight from heaven. God's anger for sin comes straight from heaven. The kids are studying the book of Revelation, and the further we get in the book, it's more obvious that the punishment for sin on earth is coming straight from the temple of God in heaven on earth. And so, but it's against heaven, it's against all ungodliness, that's not being like God, not holding God, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Suppress means, in English, suppress means you hold something back. But the word here really means they're holding it. In other words, they know the truth. We know the truth. But we hold the truth back. We push it down and we say, don't come up, stay in the box. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to see you. I don't want, stay back. So men know the truth, and what do? They hold it back and make a choice to sin. Have you ever sinned and you knew it was wrong? Well, I mean, if you're human, you have. I remember as a little kid, even getting red in the face because I sinned, I was embarrassed before anyone ever caught me because I knew the truth. I knew what was right, but I chose to do my own way. I chose my way over God's way. So this is lesson two about sin, and that's what Paul teaches right here. He says, sin is a choice. Men are actually holding the truth back and choosing their own way. And so, the other lesson here, lesson number three, God is holy and he must punish sin. That is really important. Do you see that in those verses? God is holy. And he must punish sin. Okay, if I ever was a babysitter for your kids, they could get by with anything. I would never, I'd be a terrible grandparent because my kids would do anything. But God is not a bad father and he's not a bad grandfather in that sense. God doesn't let us get by with anything. Part of his character is love, isn't it? He loves you. Part of his character is mercy. He wants to spare you. He wants to keep you from being punished. That's mercy. But part of his character is he's fair and he's holy. He's just. And so he has to punish sin. Now, how do you bring those things together? God must punish sin because he has no sin. He's holy. And yet at the same time, he wants to keep me from being punished. Now, how do you bring that together? Well, only God could bring that together, but that's a rule. So when I think about sinning, and where do we get that in this verse? Well, it's saying right here, right now, God's anger, that's his anger against sin and his punishment for sin, the word wrath, I don't know why they put a W in front of it, because you don't say will wrath, you say wrath, it's just wrath. God's wrath is revealed, it's shown from heaven. And so God is holy, and we'll see more of that, but he has to punish sin. Do you know the sin that you did 3 weeks ago that you have now forgotten? God does. He never forgets. It's impossible for God to forget. God must punish that sin. Why? Because God has no sin and he's holy. Now, we have a clue right here. I don't want anyone to be so sad that you start crying right away. Because just as God's anger is revealed from heaven against people who choose their own way over God's way, what else is revealed? Revealed means what else does God show or what else does God reveal? Right away, he's saying in the book of Romans, he's beginning to give us a little hope. God's holy and he must punish sin, and it's shown, it's revealed from heaven. But also, what's this, everyone? Read that word. Righteousness. You see the word right in there? God is holy and righteous, and he wants to make me right. And he is also, while he's revealing his anger against sin, he's also revealing his righteousness. But he doesn't say it's from heaven. It is from heaven. But he wants us to look at a different source. Where does righteousness, his wrath comes from heaven against sin. Where is the righteousness coming from in this verse? So you answer it. Where is the righteousness coming from? Wrath is revealed from heaven, punishment straight from the throne of God. God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by what? Faith. Do you want to have eternal life? It's going to be by faith. Faith is trusting someone else's word. If I give you my word, it's Craig. But if God gives you his word, and his word is going to be, I paid for your sin. Your sin is punished on the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you my word, if you put your trust, if you have faith in my son to do the work you cannot do, I will reveal my righteousness to you. So, it's a preview. It's not one of our points here, we've got lesson one, which is way on the bottom. Everybody has sinned, the glorious God. Lesson number two, sin is a choice. I know what I'm doing. I'm choosing my own way. Lesson number three, God is holy and he must punish sin, even the sins that I forget. So we've got that lesson. Now he goes on to say, and we're verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident. Evident means obvious, right? Easy to see. Evident, obvious, easy to see. So we could say, because that which is known about God, it's easy to see. Why is sin so bad? Because it's easy to see what's right. It's easy to see what's right. And you say, it's hard to see what's right. How do I know what's right? I don't agree with this. Is it easy to see what's right? Can anyone in the world, even with no Bible, suppose you have no Bible, and God is saying, you are responsible for your sin. And you go, but God, I don't know about sin. And he says, yes, you do. Is that true? This is what he's saying here. He's saying, that which is known about God, you can know about God, and it's easy because of the way God built you. God made you. How did God make you? He made you different than a dog, didn't he? I mean, you can teach a dog a few things. Unless it's a Labrador, then he can do anything. But a dog can't worship God, can he? All around the world, what do people do that dogs don't do, that monkeys don't do, that no other animal in God's creation does? No fish, no bird, no other animal does this. Men are made to worship God. And whether we build temples and we worship the wrong gods, or whether we worship the true God, God has built in you the desire to worship an invisible God. That's the way he's made you. In Genesis, it's called the image of God. It's like he, bing, put a little bit in you of himself. And so God says, one way we are responsible for sin is that God made us different than the animals. He created us. He gave us eyes to see. So the person who created us must be able to see. He gave us ears to hear, didn't he? God planted the ear in your head. Listen up! God gave you the ear, didn't he? And so God must hear. God must see. God must receive our worship. And so just the way in. And then what else does everyone else in the world have? You think about, how did God make man that's inside me? I have a conscience. Every person in the world has some idea of what is right and what is wrong with no instruction or teaching at all. So you can go the furthest place from the Bible, and everyone's thinking may be really strange, but they have ideas of what is right and what is wrong. Maybe their ideas are bad, but in their thinking, they still, because they're humans, they have the idea something is right and something is wrong. That's called your conscience, and it's part of your creation from God. It's within you. So why am I responsible for sin? Because sometimes there's a voice in my head that says, Craig, don't do that. And what does Craig do? I'm sad to report, I do it. And then afterwards I go, oh no. But have you ever said no to the little voice in your head that says, don't do that? Then guess what? Without even the Bible, you're guilty. And I'm guilty before God. I didn't need a verse in the Bible to disobey the voice in my head, my conscience. So God made it evident to them. Now not only, you see the word within, something inside. Now God's going to do something outside. He's going to make something, again, easy to see on the outside. And again, this will be without even the Bible. So you can put your Bibles away. You don't need your Bibles for this. God made you in such a way that you know God inside you. But you can look outside and look what's outside. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes. I suppose we need to know what attributes are. What is attributes? Attributes is the stuff that makes you you. Okay, what is your attribute? Well, we filled out some citizenship applications. What are your attributes? I have brown hair, you have black hair. I have brown eyes, you have black eyes. I'm Caucasian, you're Asian, you're whatever you are. Those are my attributes, right? I'm 5'8.5". And some basketball player is 7 feet tall. That's his attributes. That's what makes you you. And God says you can see what makes God, God, his attributes, by looking at the world. Really? Well, we kind of alluded to this, but what attributes in particular? Well, I can look at the world and I can see the eternal power of God. What keeps the world spinning? I mean, at some time, to make something go round, did you ever play with a top? And you throw the top and it spins on the ground. Does it keep spinning? No. Did it start spinning without your help? No. The top spins because somebody made it spin. The world turns because someone, something had to make the world spin. And the reason it doesn't stop is someone is keeping it spinning. And what kind of power keeps an entire earth spinning? And an entire earth going around the sun, and an entire sun going through a whole galaxy of stars, and an entire universe of stars continuing to shine and burn? Well, it has to be a pretty great power, doesn't it? You don't need a Bible to look at what has been made and say, somebody very powerful made all of these things I see. It didn't just happen. Only an idiot with a college degree could believe that the world happened by accident and no one's power keeps it going. So is it power and his divine nature too? Okay, I have a great story here. What do you know? Now, we read the Bible, so we have a little head start. What do you know about the nature of God? He's kind, isn't he? Isn't that one of the things about God's nature? His nature is what he is on the inside. God feels. God thinks. God has a will. One of the things is God is really kind. How do you see that in nature? Okay, so I dug up. What side of the yard is that? South. I dug up the whole east side of my yard. And I didn't do it. I paid someone to dig up the whole east side of my yard, and they planted grass seed, and then they rolled this big blanket over the lawn. And he says, okay, you have to start watering it. I said, all right. I don't want to start watering it. God started watering my lawn. And every day for the past week or so, we've had this nice little shower. It hasn't been very hard. But every morning, there's just enough water to keep the ground wet, but not so much water that those little tiny grass seeds don't get washed away. And I said, man, God is kind. You know who knows how kind God is? Farmers. When you plant something, you do nothing to make it grow. You do nothing to change the season to say, oh, it's time to pick now, isn't it? It's time to pick the things and start getting them ready to eat. God changes the season so things get ripe and ready to pick. That's the kindness of God. So one of the things that Paul points out when he talks to people with no Bible, he says, God gave you rain. And God gave you seasons so that you might know the character of God. And so these things are evident. So I'm going to skip here. We're without excuse, aren't we? If people stop worshiping God and start worshiping idols, even without a Bible, I'm absolutely without excuse. Religions who worship statues are going against the knowledge of God that they could have just by looking out their window. God put it in my head, and God put it in his creation. And so, here's the points here from this one. My sin is against God, isn't it? And so, I should put all sin is against God. Okay, you're being educated in college, and what are they teaching you? They're teaching you that it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anyone else. As long as you can do things without affecting anyone else, it doesn't matter what you do. It's relative. And that's not true. Any bad thing I do is first against God. It doesn't matter who I hurt. It doesn't even matter if I don't hurt myself. I hurt God. My sin is against God. And did you ever think that? I never thought that until I was 20 years old. Oh no, I've hurt God. Where did I hurt God the most when I sinned? What is happening here? Who's being hurt? Jesus. Why is Jesus being hurt? Do you remember the sin you don't remember? That God is holy and he must punish sin? I don't even remember the sin I did yesterday. But it was against God. And if nobody else is hurt, Jesus was hurt for that sin. Because God put every single sin in the universe on his son, and Jesus paid for every sin. That's good to know, isn't it? Because obviously God has the answer to my problem. So all sin is against God. And the other lesson here is,
I have no excuse.
When do kids start making excuses? You know what's really good is if you have a little sister or a little brother and you can blame them. So you can say, it was her. It was him. I could blame my brother, my bigger brother. He was a bad influence on me. It's his fault. Who started this? Let's blame someone else for my sin. Who started that? It's not my fault. What did Adam say when he sinned? Who did he blame? He looks around all the people in the world and he says, I'm going to pick someone here and I'm going to blame them for my behavior. It's the woman. God, you gave me this woman, and she made me eat it. She gave to me, and I ate. See, right in my heart, I want to blame someone else for my problem. If you blame someone else, can God cure you from your problem? If you blame someone, are you going to get the answer? Are you going to get the cure? Absolutely not. Who do you have to blame for your sin? I got to go up here. Sin is a choice. It's my choice. I have to blame me. God, I'm the guilty one here. I'm the one who should be on this cross. But Jesus took my place. So then, of course, Eve, she looked around and she said, the serpent. So they both tried to find someone to blame. Who are you blaming for your sin? Well, let's stop right here. I'll mark it so we don't forget. But the first three chapters of Romans are all about sin. In one, it's easy to know I'm a sinner, but it's hard to admit it. So I think that Paul is not teaching us something that's hard to understand. But he's teaching us something that's hard to accept. It's hard to accept the fact that sin is my responsibility, that it's not a mistake that I make, that it's a choice. That God, there really is a God, that he's really holy, that he must punish sin, and we know, looking ahead, how many of my sins did he punish on Jesus on the cross? How many of my sins? Of my sins were punished. So good lessons about sin. Sin must be punished, so Jesus had to die. God actually took Jesus, who knew no sin, 100% holy, and traded my sin and put it on Jesus. And because God is holy and he must punish sin, Jesus died right there for my sin. And he said, it is finished. The conclusion of Paul's argument. Let's go to the conclusion of his argument. This would be a good thing here. I'll put some. So basically, who has sinned? Everybody. What have we lost? We've lost what's perfect. We've lost God's light. And then what's the solution? God wants to declare you to be right. That's justified means to say you're right. God wants to say you're right. How can he say people who are wrong are right? And he says this is how he's going to do it. He's going to make it a gift. How can God make it a gift? Because he's holy and he must punish sin. Well, he's going to do it by grace. I don't deserve it. Grace, again, is another word for gift. But that's the key word right there. Redemption means he's going to make a purchase. He's going to buy something. So when you think of this death over here on the cross, a price is being paid. Jesus is actually buying you right here. And so what's the solution for sin? Looking ahead, the solution for sin is because it must be paid, Jesus is going to step in and make the payment. Once he makes the payment, your sin is paid. And there's only one thing left to do, receive the gift. Have you ever received the gift of Jesus Christ? If you have not, will you today receive the gift of Jesus Christ? Because God will declare you right, justify you as a gift, but as we learn way back at the beginning, that life only comes through faith. Your trust in Jesus is what God is waiting for. Without it, you will never go to heaven. With it, heaven is yours, and the glory of God also. Think about this very seriously. And there's lessons here for us as Christians. If you are a Christian, I still can't blame anyone else for my sin. I still am responsible for my sin. There's helps here to talk to other people who may not have a Bible or may not believe the Bible. And tell them about their conscience. Haven't you ever done anything wrong? Yeah, you have. Well, what have you done about your sin? There's no answer for sin except Jesus.